grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this Holy Trinity Sunday is our Old Testament lesson book of Genesis chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Holy Trinity Sunday. On this Sunday, we seem to do everything in threes. We began with the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. We began with the invocation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We'll end the service with the triple Amen, 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 Amen. But today we want to keep things simple and see if we can get to the point of what all of this is about. And I'm going to summarize it for you simply and put it like this. The Holy Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaches us something. And that is that the Lord wanted you to be here. The Lord wanted you to be saved. And the Lord wanted you to believe. Before we go to that, though, Book of Romans, chapter 11. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Now, that is what is known as a rhetorical question, which means that the answer is so obvious that you don't even have to say it, so I'm not going to say it. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him, three, are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. When Moses was called by the Lord to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, Moses said to the Lord, "What's your name?" And he gave an explanation. He said, "I need to know it because the people are going to ask me what's his name, and I need to be able to tell them what your name is. So what's your name?" And what did God say? He said, "I am." Which doesn't sound particularly helpful, because what does it mean? It could mean that God is saying, "I exist," which is good. It's good that God exists. That's a good starting point. But in the end, what good does that do you? Because I could tell you that Paris in France exists, but what does that have to do with you? What does that have to do with me? And you might also ask on Holy Trinity Sunday, what does the Holy Trinity have to do with me? Because the doctrine and teaching of the Holy Trinity seems to be very far removed from ordinary life. It seems to be something about how God exists himself up in heaven. Even the collect, the prayer for today, is kind of difficult. I've always found it difficult to understand. What are we asking of the Lord when we say these words? Maybe the Holy Trinity is something for theologians to debate, not us. Theologians can debate that. They can write about it. They can publish books about it. Maybe we had better leave it with them. Or maybe we better leave it with the Lord. Simply accept what the Lord has said about himself, that he is one God, there is one true God, and That in that one God, there are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, you can write a book about it if you want. See if you can say it better than the next person does. Look for an explanation if you want to find one. Or you can do this. You can close your mouth and open your ears. Always a wise policy. Close your mouth, open your ears, and hear what it's saying to you. Old Testament, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Old Testament, God is in heaven. You are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So how do we put it in a few words? I'll put it like this. The Lord wanted you to be here. The Lord wanted you to be saved. The Lord wanted you to believe. The Lord wanted you to be here. How do you know that? Well, you're here. You are here. You could have been not here, but the Lord had you be here. And not only that, you might remember the words of our little catechism that we teach to the young people when we talk about such things as our faith. And this is what it says. It says, I believe God made me, and he made all creatures, and that he gave me my body, and my soul, and my eyes, and my ears, and all my members, and my reason, and all my senses, and he still takes care of them. And he also gives me clothing and shoes and food and drink and house and home and spouse and children and land and animals and all that I have. And he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. And he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. Now, it's pretty obvious there. The Lord wanted you to be here. All of that investment, the Lord wanted you to be here. But not only that, the Lord wanted you to be saved. Because why else would he come to this world? Why else would Jesus come to us? What did he come for? Did he come into this world to give us some more teachings? Did he come into this world to give us some more morals? The world is saturated with teachings, and the world is saturated with teachings about morals. They've been around as long as civilization has been around. Look at the writings of the ancient Egyptians, or the ancient Babylonians, or the ancient Greeks, or the ancient Chinese, and you will find teachings upon teachings, and morals upon morals, and book upon book, and scroll upon scroll. And if you read them, you will find yourself saying, I think I've heard this before. I think I've heard these things. I heard them from the Babylonians, and I heard them from the Egyptians, and I heard them from the Chinese, and I heard them from the ancient Romans and the ancient Greeks. And there's a reason why you keep hearing the same things, and that's because, as the scripture teaches us, God put his law in the human heart. Now, it's messed up, it's blurred, it's distorted by sin, but it's still there. There's still something that speaks to the heart of man, and you see a great commonality throughout the world. The problem is not that things are all the same, but the problem is that we can talk about it, and we can preach about it, and we can do that every Sunday, every day of the week. The problem is what? You don't do it. And I don't do it. People don't do it. You don't have anything to offer God. Oh, this, look at my life. Look at my teachings. Look at my morals. Forget about it. Romans chapter 11. Who's ever given to God that God should repay him. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. So, did our Lord Jesus come to give us new teachings, new morals? Or did he do something else that was far beyond that? Did he come into this world because the Lord wanted you not just to be here, but to be saved? You see that purpose every time you see a cross. You see that purpose every time you come to Holy Communion and take the true body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. You see that every time a little one or an older one is baptized in church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's something, once again, that we say in our little catechism in our church where we talk about the Lord Jesus and we say, he has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, and he has purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. The Lord wanted you to be here. The Lord wanted you to be saved. And the Lord wanted you to believe. To believe. Because, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, no person can say that Jesus is Lord and so be saved, but by the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord had you be baptized. The Lord gave you his word. The Lord gave you the services of his house. The Lord gave you, once again, the sacrament of his body and blood. All of these things for your faith, to give you faith, to hold up your faith, to sustain your faith, to give strength to your faith. And again, one more time from our little catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. He has enlightened me with his gifts. He has kept me in the true faith. And so, the Lord wanted you to be here. The Lord wanted you to be saved. The Lord wanted you to be leave. But that places you in an awkward position. Every person in this world gets placed in an awkward position in one way or another when it comes to this. But for us specifically, living in our country and living in our culture, you're put in a kind of an odd position because 6 days of the week as you go out there, you are told, believe. Believe in yourself. Believe in your power. Believe in your ability, believe in your intelligence, believe in your education, believe in your strength. 6 days a week, you're told that over and over again. Not only that, are you told that, we tell our young people that, and we do it probably because it's the old pioneer thinking, and that is, there's your field. Nobody's going to plow it for you. It's not going to plow itself. So you better get out there. You better do it. And then Sunday morning, you get dressed up and you get in the car and you come to church. And when you come to church, all of a sudden you say, I believe that I cannot by my own strength or reason believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. You confess just the opposite. You confess that no power of yours made you. That no power of yours keeps you going. That no sacrifice of yours saved you, that no hand of yours turned on the light switch and said, let there be light. No hand of yours switched on the light switch so that you would have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, this thing that we call faith. There was no leading of God that brought you here today, or no leading of your own, excuse me, that brought you here today. It was the leading of God. All of it was the work of God from start to finish, for by grace you are saved through faith. This didn't come from you. It's not by your works, so that no one can boast. And that's humbling. To know that everything had to come from the Lord. To know that there is no independent existence, there are no independent powers, there is no independent salvation. It's a humbling thing. But it is also comforting. It is comforting to know that everything does come from the Lord. And it's a joy to think that the Lord wanted you to be here. The Lord wanted you to be saved. The Lord wanted you to believe. It's humbling. It's comforting. And it's restful. It's restful to know that the Bible is right. That the Father who made you and the Son who saved you and the Holy Spirit who gave you faith, those three persons in one God, that the Lord is everything from start to finish. And he gives you everything by grace as a gift, not by what you did, so that no one can boast. And so, Romans chapter 11, I do not have to answer the question for you. You do not even have to answer it for yourself. You already know the answer. Who is ever given to God? That God should repay him. For from him and through him and to him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to him be the glory, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.